Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to everybody. This afternoon, we will be doing estimates for Digital Government and Service NL. And as I said, I'd like to welcome everybody here this afternoon. And we have first on the agenda is substitutions. So for MHJ Tripper, we have MHJ Osborne and MHJ Houghton. For MHJ Sherry Gem Walsh, we have MHJ Hogan, and for MHJ Reed, we have MHJ Howell. Also, before we start, right now we don't have any independent members, but consensus speaking to my fellow colleagues, we have agreed to give 10 minutes at the very end if an independent member should show up, and I'm going to just concur that that's okay with everybody. And I'm getting the nod that it is. So that's the procedure that we will follow. And I guess the first other thing, the other thing we need to do is starting off, the first speaker gets 10 minutes for each heading. And then after that is 10 minutes. When you're going to speak, please wave to identify yourself. And when the tally light comes on, say your name. And we like for you to say your name every time you speak so that the recorder is able to have an accurate name along with the voice and who is actually speaking. We ask you not to touch or adjust your chairs because other members will be coming back and we'll only have problems trying to get comfortable in your seat again, so please don't adjust your chairs. The water cooler is behind us, and of course the bathrooms are just outside the door. I think everybody is very much aware of that. And before I ask the clerk to call the first set of headings, I would like for everybody to introduce themselves, and we're going to start right here with MHJ Osborne.
Tom Osborne, Waterford Valley.
Ashley Pluge, Official Opposition Staff.
Jody Wall, Cape St. Francis.
Lila Evans, Touring Up Mountains.
Stephen Kent, Researcher for the NDP Caucus.
John Hogan, Windsor Lake.
Krista Howell, St. Barb, Lance Meadows.
Lyolo Driscoll, Fairland.
Jim Locke, Government Member's Office.
Sean Dutton, Deputy Minister, Digital Government and Service NL.
Sarah Studley, MHJ from Mount Sio and Minister of Digital Government and Service NL.
Scott Jones, Assistant Deputy Minister, Digital Government Service NL.
Gail Boland, Assistant Deputy Minister, Digital Government Service NL.
Jennifer Torville, Departmental Controller.
Tina Newhook, Director of Communications for Digital Government and Service NL.
Kara Connors, Minister Studley's EA.
Thank you all. Now I ask the Minister, Sarah Studley, to bring opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Studley. Very pleased to be here with our team to talk about the very important work that our department does for people of the province. So we have two branches, digital government and services and regulatory affairs. And so through these two branches, we're responsible for more than 175 pieces of legislation. And we actively deliver resident protection services in the area of public health and safety, occupational health and safety, highway and road safety, environmental protection, and protection services for consumer and financial services. So we work very closely with OCIO, which I'm also responsible for, and those estimates will be later in the House. But we work very closely with OCIO to progress our digital services, both in our department and across government. And so I do want to note we have over 400, and I want to note and thank our over 400 employees located in our offices across the province. Say a huge thank you to them for all the work they do. Many of them are customer facing and resident facing and interact with the public all the time. And I just want to thank them for the difficult and challenging work that they do, all of our teams. And so happy to go through the book and answer any questions that anyone may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So now I ask for a mover for the minutes of the previous meeting. I recognize MHJ Wong. Moved minutes. And second by MHJ Hogan. All in favor?
Aye.
All against? Carried. All right, so now I'm going to ask the clerk to call the first set of headings, please.
Executive and Support Services, 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive.
So we're going to start with MHJ Wall with 1.1.01 to 1.2.03. MHJ Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Minister. First of all, I'd like to thank your department staff for all that you guys do throughout the year. It is certainly appreciated. Some general introductory questions before I get into 1.1.01. Hope that's okay. Minister, can you please provide a copy of your briefing binder? Okay.
Yes, we will provide a copy.
Thank you. Madam Chair, just for clarity, do I need to raise my hand every time I go to speak, or is it?
Yes.
Every time? Okay. Last year, the Minister stated that there wasn't an attrition target for this year past. Minister, is there an attrition target for this coming year, or has government ended that particular attrition plan?
Sarah Studley, we do not have an attrition plan.
Thank you. Minister, are you still applying zero-based budgeting?
Sarah Studley, yes.
Thank you. Are you aware of any errors that are published in the estimates book before we go further?
I'm not aware of any errors.
Okay. Thank you. Minister, have any positions been eliminated? And if so, can you please provide what they are?
That's a good question. So we did have some reorganizations. I don't know if who the best person to run through those with you would be. Okay.
Gail Bolin. As the Minister alluded, we have recently received approval for a reorganization of the Occupational Health and Safety Division following an audit that was done by the Professional Services and Internal Audit Division at our request to specifically focus on how we may improve our investigation of serious incidents in the workplace. Through that process, there is no increase in the positions. It's zero-based. And we've had some long-term vacancies, so we're using that to trade off to create other positions and better utilize our officers so that they can be focused more on these serious investigations and meet the two-year statutory timeline.
Thank you, Ms. Boland. Minister, any positions been added to your department? I know you said you have 400 employees across the province. Any positions been added?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you. How many retirements have occurred during the last year?
We've had 9 retirements.
Thank you. Minister, do you have any vacancies that are not being filled right now in the department? And if so, how long have they been vacant?
Sarah Studley. We do have vacant positions. We get a lot of turnover in some of our areas, particularly, for example, motor registration, the customer-facing, resident-facing area. I don't have a timeline. We can certainly provide you more information on that. We currently have 3 vacant positions in executive support, 4 in consumer and financial services, 2 in the commercial registries, 1 in vital statistics, 1 in the King's Printer, 1 in collections, 19 with motor registration, 6 with the Avalon Regional Services, 2 with Eastern Regional Services, 4 with Central Regional Services, 1 with Western Regional Services, 1 with Labrador Regional Services, and 2 with Occupational Health and Safety. So again, this was, I think, as of a few days ago, but this would March 3rd. This is as of March 31st. So this may not reflect the situation today, as we have lots of jobs on the board that are going through the HR process.
Thank you, Minister. Understood up to the end of the fiscal year. No, yep. I totally understand that. Thank you for that. Minister, how many layoffs have occurred in your department over the last year?
Sarah Studley. I don't think we've had any layoffs in the layoff sense. We've had 9 retirements, 32 resignations / people who are end of employment. Yes, no, we haven't laid off anyone.
Thank you, Minister. How many new hires have taken place over the last fiscal year?
We've had 27 new hires this year.
Thank you. Minister, how many contractual or short-term employees do you have currently?
6, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, I'll get into the subheading 1.1.01. And I'll under transportation and communications, last year 29.9 was budgeted, but only 14.7 was spent. Minister, can you please explain why?
Sarah Stoodley. So this is for the Minister's Office Transportation. And so this reflects the actual transportation, you know, expenses that myself and my EA have incurred. So obviously I live in the metro region, so there's, you know, I don't need to travel to here. You know, if I lived in Labrador, that number would be a lot bigger. So, and I have a 3-year-old, so I try not to travel too much. So that reflects our travel expenses.
Thank you, Minister. Understood. 1.2.01, executive support. Under salaries heading. Last year, the department went over budget by 86.6, and this year we see a further increase of 100K. Can you please explain, Minister?
Yes, thank you. As part of the reorganization that Gail mentioned, we moved 2 of our occupational health and safety policy roles from occupational health and safety, which you'll see later, into this area. So all of our policy experts are kind of in one team now. And so we have 2 people that have moved. So that we also, I guess also in that budget, we have a graduate recruitment. We have extra costs for a temporary word processing operator. So that's just some of the other reasons why that amount has increased.
Thank you, Minister. Under employee benefits, last year the department went over budget by 45.1, but budgeted less this year compared to the revised budget. Can you please explain why?
Yep, thank you. So we had increased costs for workers' compensation charges, and so we've increased the budget to last year, anticipating more, but you know we still don't anticipate as many as this year, but we can't know for sure.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Just to be clear, we can move on to 1.2.02.
1.2.02.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So 1.2.02, under General Administration, I look at French language services, so professional services. Last year, the department went under budget by 24.3, but the budget remains the same from this year. Can you please explain why, Minister?
Thank you. Yep. So we have a French team, and we do translation. The team does translation, but we also get the federal government. We have an agreement with the federal government to do translation as well. And so we didn't need our full budget in terms of paying for extra translation services, but we still need that money, I guess, in case there is increased translation need.
Thank you, Minister. 1.2.03, administrative support. Minister, there was no budget for property furnishings and equipment, but there was a revised budget of 114.4. Can you please explain why?
Yep, thank you. So this is the only area in our budget, in our estimates, where we can have capital expenses. So we are in charge of the King's Printer, and so the King's Printer purchased a new slitter cutter creaser machine, and so that is the cost of that machine. It was purchased from Duplo. And so this is the only place in our department where we can put capital purchases.
Okay, understood. That's all I have for up to 1.2.03. We're not moving into 2.1 yet, correct. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's it for now.
You're more than welcome. M.H.J. Evans, and could you speak up, M.H.J. Evans? I know last night we had difficulty hearing you.
Yes, and thank you, Chair. And just to clarify, so we're only doing the ones? Because I thought you read into 2.2.03.
We're doing 1.1.01 to 1.2.03.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for the clarification. So anyway, and I thank my colleague for asking some of my questions because it'll speed things up. And Minister, I do like your direct answers. It's really good, and we'll probably be able to get out of here at a reasonable time if we proceed in that manner. Just looking at some of my general questions, has there been any consideration given to amending legislation to end no-fault evictions, especially with those associated with income support and social housing?
Sarah Sudley. So that's an excellent question, and I've spent a lot of time, thinking and talking, doing research, and, you know, we're looking at what happens with evictions. I just have a table I'm going to dig out that's here somewhere. Here we go. So, you know, looking at this specific issue, you know, every province allows residents to evict someone. It's just, I guess, a matter of how long that is. So we do allow landlords to evict tenants given 3 months' notice. Every province allows landlords to evict someone with a certain amount of notice. It's just a matter of, you know, how much notice that is. Some provinces, you know, require less notice. Some provinces require more notice. So it's like, where is that happy medium? And we do have to balance the needs of landlords and the needs of tenants. So right now we are kind of middle of the road in terms of the notice period that landlords need to give tenants in terms of the other provinces. And landlords do have to give 6 months notice if they're giving tenants notice of a rental increase. And so it's something I think about, you know, a lot. I'm always looking at what other provinces are doing. I mean, if you have any suggestions, happy to discuss further. You know, there's a lot of different needs. You know, there's no perfect answer here. Thank you.
And thank you for your honest answer there, Minister. Would you be able to provide a summary of the services that were made available online this year, like the services that were now available through online?
So again, that would be more like OCIO, because it's like the technical team does the work, but, you know, I'm happy to talk about all the great things that we're making online anytime. And so I guess I don't necessarily in the past financial year, I'm thinking some of the later ones, like OCIO, again, not this department, but OCIO, which I'm also responsible for. You know, we would have worked on the help, like with moose hunting licenses. We worked on the personal health record that health has had. That's kind of one of the newest, very exciting, most impressive ones with through MyGovNL. Most of our licenses, so for example, the online application form for licensing of insurance adjusters, agents, brokers, real estate brokers, salespersons, mortgage brokers, prepaid funeral sellers, all of that is online. When we had the new, we have payday lenders, the application for payday lenders, direct sellers, collection agencies, collection reporting agencies, agents and agencies for private investigation and security services, so those were newly launched online. For motor registration, I don't know if it's this year or slightly the year before, you can now transfer your vehicle online. You can, you know, from a business perspective, you can apply for electrical permits, and from a charitable perspective, you can apply for lottery licenses. We did domestic woodcutting permits this year. We did the mandatory electronic logging. And we launched a new dealer's web for all the vehicle dealers to liaise with motor registration so that we could keep better track of, you know, the payments and who has what license plates and all that. So that was a really big one that we did this year. In a nutshell, that's...
Okay. That's a good answer, Minister. Also, just quickly, did you move any services to online only? And do you have any plans to move any services, like, you know, to just being available online?
So within our department, we have not moved anything online only, except with Dealers Web. So dealers, yes, dealers have to work with us online. We did work with the Dealers Association, and there were no concerns with that. And I believe it's, you know, fully rolled out now, and there's no outstanding issues. You know, and if there was, we could work with them on a case-by-case basis. And no, we don't plan on rolling out online-only resident services. You know, we do understand that that's not an appropriate option for everyone.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Trongat Mountains. What savings were realized by increasing the number of services that were provided online? Do you have that that number?
I don't have a number I can give you. We are able to realize, so for example, last year with residential tenancies, we moved, because we have online applications, we are able to reallocate some staff members so that we could have another adjudicator position. And I know now we're looking at charitable lotteries. So, for example, we have an online application system, and we're looking at further efficiency where we can make things more efficient to, you know, have more staff, I guess, doing more kind of meaningful helping and, you know, to clear up some backlog and make sure that we are meeting our service levels rather than having people do kind of manual entry.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Trongat Mountains. There are many people who found it difficult to navigate basic online services, such as seniors, those in my district with poor conductivity, those on low income who may not be able to afford and don't have access to free internet or computers. What measures is being taken to ensure that while services are migrated online, that they remain universally accessible, such as mail out of notice for renewal and being able to mail out applications to people who can mail them back in?
That's a good question. So I guess, you know, if anyone needed, you know, we still provide telephone service, so if anyone needed something, we could certainly mail it to them. As an MHA, I don't encounter that too often. You know, I know this isn't related to our department, but like Rogers has a low-income program for $16 a month where they provide high-speed internet. I'm not sure if that's available in Labrador, but you know, my constituents avail of that where they can get high-speed internet for $16 a month. You know, if they're on income support or Newfoundland Labrador housing. So I guess my short answer is we would provide services over the phone or would work with someone to make accommodations. Like I know we do have our motor registration team does travel in person to various places in Labrador to make sure that people can access services and get, you know, up-to-date driver's licenses and those types of things. And if there's a gap, happy to discuss and work to remedy that.
Okay. No, and thank you, Minister, for your answer. And just an aside that's not directly related to this, my mother pays $207 a month for basic landline service, phone service, and high-speed internet, which is not high-speed. So if you know of any deals Bell has for seniors or people on fixed income in my district, please pass that along, because $207 for the basic services.
Starlink would be cheaper than that.
But it doesn't provide the phone service.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you can do the, anyway, that's a totally different thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Minister, there is a package that Rogers has also, and we have all the information in my office, so I will have my staff pass that over to you. It's a internet and telephone package for seniors, and that for $79, so I will pass that information over to you.
Chair, I'm going to take that information. And I don't think we have Rogers, but I'm sure there's a way we can get Rogers if it's cheaper. So thank you very much. Moving on. Thank you very much. Has there been any consideration into making the registry of lobbyists more accessible to the public and making reporting by lobbyists more robust?
Thank you. You can search online right now. It's not perfect. You know, it's not the highest priority to revamp. We have, you know, a big priority list that we work through. It's searchable online. I don't get a lot of complaints about it.
Okay, MH Evans, your time is up at this round. MHA Wilde, do you have anything else? I know you said you didn't have any further questions on this section, but I just want to give you the opportunity in case somebody else came up.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm good for this section. Thank you.
Okay, MHA Evans, we will put another 10 minutes on the clock for you. You have more questions? Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. The department received work from Rothschild around, I think it was in 2022, regarding the value and potential for selling registries. You now had time to examine these documents. Have there been any decisions made on this recommendation?
There's nothing that I can provide. There's no information I can provide at this time on that.
MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Is that information that there's no information, or you just can't provide it to us?
Both.
So I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
No,
Minister.
No, both. Neither, I don't know. There's no update I can provide.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Has the department engaged in any new projects or initiatives regarding cybersecurity for the provincial governments in the last year?
So that's an excellent question. So that would be the OCIO team, the IT team, which is in Executive Council. So I'll be answering those questions, I believe, in the House, maybe later next week, as part of Executive Council estimates. That would be covered in the OCIO budget. We do lots of cybersecurity things, and I can't reveal them in detail, but yes.
Okay, well, we'll hold our questions for next week. Okay, just looking at the traffic cameras, when can we expect more rollout of the cameras across the province?
That's an excellent question that changes by the hour. I've committed publicly that we'll have cameras in 2024. I would like to see them much earlier than that, and I'm working as fast and as hard as I can to have them as soon as possible.
Okay, as soon as possible. Thank you, Speaker. Minister, MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. This is my sixth budget estimates this week, so I'm I was getting really good at it. Now I'm starting to just sort of fade away. How many child care site inspectors are there currently, and how many inspections are conducted each year on the regulated daycare homes and daycares across the province? And out of those, what percentage of the regulated day homes and daycares do these figures represent? So how many inspections and what percentage?
I'll refer to Gail, my ADM, to give you more
for child care. So our daycare centers are inspected by environmental health officers. At any given time, we have between 30, 35 across the province. And they inspect daycare centers based on a frequency that's established by the Department of Education. I don't have off the top of my head how many were completed last year, but if we are required to complete it every year, it is completed every year.
Okay.
So I don't know how many are currently registered.
Okay, thank you. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains, how is work progressing on the rollout of the personal health record, and when do you expect this service to be available for everyone in the province?
Thank you, Sarah Studley. That is OCIO and health,
yep.
But I will tell you, if you go to MyGovNL right now, you can click on personal health record and go in and get your a code in the mail, and then add it. It's available to every MyGovNL account right now. My understanding, health is going to launch it publicly shortly. But if you go into MyGovNL now, you can add it today.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. What policies have been put in place over the past year to help streamline the client experience for all business, like at Department of Government Services?
Sorry, Sarah, so just a quick, did you mean, sorry, in terms of business, like working with businesses, is that what you said, sorry?
Yes.
Okay. I guess we haven't made a ton of changes. As Gail talked about, we made some occupational health and safety changes to streamline that. We made some changes to streamline how not-for-profits work with us for charitable lotteries. And we have a team that we can reallocate depending on where the need is. So, for example, between, you know, financial services applications versus charitable lottery applications, we have some flexibility there in terms of who can do what to meet demand. I guess the biggest thing, you know, we continue to do is make things available online. And, you know, I meet with various industry stakeholder groups. And, you know, if they give us any feedback, you know, we certainly take that on board. I always ask, and there's very little feedback, constructive feedback that we get. I am in charge of multiple self-regulatory bodies, like funeral embalmers, different groups such as like the Chartered Professional Accountants will come to us looking for changes to the legislation, and then we'll go through the normal legislative processes. So I'm very happy with the service that we provide to businesses, and but saying that, continue, we'll certainly take any feedback on board, and I always go to my way to seek feedback, and I rarely get any. So thank you.
Thank you, Minister, for that answer. We heard that the Coalition of Persons with Disabilities were upset with some of the amendments to the Buildings Accessibility Act. We're all there, and they were quite vocal. And a lot of the upset was about your department choosing not to follow all the advice provided by the advisory board. Would you be able to just comment on that?
Thank you, Sarah Studley. So I went, you mean the by-election town hall that the Coalitions for Persons with Disabilities had? I was there. I guess I will say that almost everything that was discussed with the Accessibility for Disabilities Act was completely misrepresented. And obviously in that forum, I had no ability to respond, but I did meet with the Coalition for Disabilities following that meeting, and we've had a few letter exchanges. So that town hall, the issues raised in that town hall were not issues. They're what we've done and the changes that we've implemented will improve accessibility. There's no area where we will not be improving accessibility. All these special cases that exist today in regulations will continue to apply, and we are still working on the regulations, and so the new Accessibility Act is not yet enforced. The Building Accessibility Act, the new one, is not yet enforced because we're still working on the regulations. And whenever there's a discrepancy between the National Building Code and the regulations that we currently have now, wherever provides the most accessibility, we will go with the higher of the two. And there was concern around definition change. That was not a policy change. That was kind of the legal drafting change. But that there was absolutely no implication on the applicability of the Building Accessibility Act.
Okay, and I thank you for that answer. I'm going to move on, but I think I was focusing on the advice that was from the advisory board that didn't make it to the act. But anyway, it looks like you are doing consultation and working on concerns. So I'll just move on to the next question. There are five extra. There was 5 extra cents added to gas on the island. So you know my question because you're smiling. Back in 2020, when the North Atlantic Refinery went into standby, right that March, but the charge has not yet been lifted. So could you just give us an update on any work that you're doing to address this?
Thank you for the question. It's very delicate because the Public Utilities Board are, you know, very yes. important. And I just want to thank the commissioners and the staff for the challenging role that they do. And they have a very difficult role in regulating gas prices. Saying that, I feel very strongly about the 5 cents. I went to the Public Utilities Board. And as you may or may not recall, we changed the legislation. We changed the Petroleum Pricing Act so that we could direct the Public Utilities Board to review gas prices. When we did that, I anticipated that they would be doing the review shortly and quickly. That is not the case. They are doing a review. It is still ongoing. It was supposed to have been on the Public Utilities Board website. You can see all the documents. They have a plan. They are working through the plan. Part of that involves getting information from third party, like the wholesalers, distributors, and I believe that's one of the areas that, you know, delays them, not getting enough input from companies. But I went to the Public Utilities Board and I asked them directly, and I was not satisfied with the answers that I was getting, but I have to be very careful because they are self-regulatory. And I don't think government should be setting the price of gas. I think that is the Public Utilities Board's role. But I went to see them, and we had these conversations. And my understanding is that the 5 cents is being reviewed in their overall gas price review, which they are doing. And they're doing it much more slowly than I'd like. But that is that.
Okay. No, thank you.
I'm trying to be restrained. Sorry.
MHJ Evans, do you still have some further questions?
Yes, I do have some.
Well,
some.
We will put more minutes on the clock.
Yep.
Go right ahead.
Speed that up. And thank you, Minister, for your answer to my last question. MHJ Evans, Torrey Gap Mountains. Could you give us some details about this department's participation in the Digital Trust and Accredit program, and what kinds of service does it entail, and what kinds of commitments from this province? I can read that over again because I. Yep.
So, all the. There's kind of a new area of FTP, of the federal, provincial, territorial, digital government. The first meeting we had was we went to Quebec. The Quebec government invited us. We are actually I'm very excited that we are hosting the Ministers of Digital Government here in this September. In terms of digital trust, I guess I'm not. If you could elaborate a bit, I'd be happy to answer specific questions. I don't have an update on anything regarding to that. We have not made any commitments. Each province pays into a very small pot of money that can be leveraged from provinces, but I don't have. I guess it's an area I'm very interested in. So personally, and when all the ministers come here, we're focusing on cybersecurity and artificial intelligence as two policy areas for the ministers of digital government. Okay. Thank you.
And I think it was about the credential program as well, you know, like just, and it is new. Moving on to the next one now, are there any plans in the works to review and update legislation surrounded creation and administration of the co-ops in this province, the cooperatives?
Thank you. So I am in charge. Am I in charge? No. So that no one's asked us for changes to the Cooperatives Act. So that is not something that's in progress. But you know, we're always looking at any pieces of legislation.
Okay.
To see what we can improve on.
Okay, thank you, Minister. I'll just move on now to 1.2.01, executive support. Why was the employee benefits over budget?
Sorry, just a second.
But Joe, that question was already asked and answered. So I'll just move on to the next section. I apologize. Section 1.2.02, French language courses. Could you provide us with just a brief overview of any expansions to the French language services that your department has completed in the past year?
Thank you. So we have not expanded or changed the division. We have signed an updated official languages agreement with the federal government, but we have not made any expansion or we haven't changed the department in terms of the French language services.
Okay, and I just have one more question for this section. Has the death notification project been completed, and if so, could you give us a brief description overview of how it's running, and are there any benefits or efficiencies that resulted from its implementation?
Thank you. So it is completed. I have not heard one complaint about it, so I assume that it's running swimmingly. And the biggest value that project provided was, I guess, a reduction in administrative burden for families and for all the people at the various stages of when someone passes away. So it should make that process easier and smoother. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And that's all the questions I have for this section, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Javens. I see no further questions. I ask the clerk to call the first subjects, please.
Executive and Support Services, 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 carry? All those in favor? Against? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next set of subheads, please.
Regulatory Affairs, 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive.
MPJ Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under 2.1.01, I just have a general question to start. Minister, what is the current wait time to have a hearing at the Residential Tenancy Board, and what is the current caseload waiting to be heard?
Scott Jones. So the current total applications outstanding is, as of March 31st, this is what the data we have, 114, and the average wait time between an application and a decision is 47 days. There was just over 1,200 applications, over 1,200 applications received this past year, and they closed just under 1,100.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Under salaries, Minister's Department underspent by 96.8 last year. Why is this?
Thank you. So that would be due to vacancies and delays in recruitment.
Thank you. Minister, can you expand on the delays in recruitment, please?
Thank you. So obviously when someone is no longer in a role, there are internal government processes that happen between someone, being offered a job and then starting, or maybe it doesn't work out, and then you got to go back to the next person. And so there's a period of time where it might be 4, 6, 8 months where there's no one in the role. And so that is time that we're not paying someone.
Thank you. Appreciate the explanation. Under 2.1.02, salaries, again, underspent by $30,400. But this year we did see a budget increase. Why is that, Minister?
Thank you. So the increase is due to the salary plan, including the, any union negotiated salary increases. And the decrease is due to a temporary vacancy in the Director of Pension Benefit Standards role.
Okay.
The person resigned and then we hired a new person.
Thank you. 2.1.03, commercial registrations under salaries, underspent by 165.3, but this year the budget is increasing. Can you please explain why?
Sorry, which line was that?
2.1.03,
yeah.
Under salaries. Thank you. Underspent by 165.3 last year, but increasing this year.
Thank you. So that would be the same. The budget is increased because of the negotiated salary increases, and then the decrease this year, this past year, is because of vacancies and positions throughout the year.
Okay, so similar to the last.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Under purchase services, last year the department overspent by 168.2. Can you please explain?
Thank you, yes. So in this line item, we pay the credit card debit fees associated with deeds registration online. And so that correlates with activity in the real estate market. So the more house purchases and real estate, you know, transactions there are, the more credit and debit card fees we pay. And so we try and estimate, but there were more transactions than we anticipated.
Okay, thank you. Under 2.2.01, vital stats registry, under salaries, underspent by 125.5, budget is increasing this year. Is that the same reason as before, Minister?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, 2.2.02, King's Printer. So under salaries, last year, department overspent by 94,000. Can you please explain?
Thank you, yes. So we underspent because we had some vacancies, and then we didn't use as much overtime as we had budgeted for. So we budget for some overtime because, for example, at the budget, the staff are there all night, you're sometimes printing the budget documents. And so obviously as the King's Printer, you know, we budget for overtime if case that's needed, and we didn't have as much required this year.
It was overspent, Minister, of 94.
The King's Printer?
Under salaries, department overspent. Am I reading it wrong?
Which line, sorry?
Salaries.
Yep.
Oh, my, sorry. My apologies.
That's okay.
My apologies, thank you. Under supplies, last year the department underspent 54.2, but the budget has increased this year. Can you please explain?
Thank you. Yep. So there, the increase is because we're anticipating increased costs, inflationary costs for paper, envelopes, those types of ink, everything that you need to run a print in place. Those costs are increasing. But this year we did spend lower because, you know, there wasn't as much printing required. So we had fewer supply costs.
Okay. Under property furnishings and equipment, and I'm not going to go back to the previous section, but I'm going to refer back to it. Minister, you said earlier with respect to 1.2.03 King's Printer, I asked about the 114.4. You said it was for a new machine, and it came under that heading. But here we have a heading of King's Printer. It has property furnishings and equipment heading, although the new machine was not put here. Can you please explain why?
Absolutely. So this is current, and the other was capital. So in my last answer, I said that was the only capital. I'm not an accountant, but
nope.
That
got you now.
There's either capital accounts or current accounts, and that was the only capital account. Do you want anything else? Okay, Scott.
Scott Jones, the capital account has a dollar. If once equipment goes to a certain dollar level, it's considered capital, so it has to be put in that account as opposed into the current account there.
Right. Thank you both for the clarification. Minister, 2.2.03, collection services. Just wondering how much outstanding debt is owed to the government at this point in time.
I'm going to refer to ADM Scott as well.
Scott Jones. We collect on behalf of multiple departments. We collect defaulted student loans, income support overpayments for individuals that are no longer receiving income support, and taxes receivables and other types of receivables. We don't collect on everything. So we have access to the balance outstanding that has been assigned to us for collections. So that is just over $247.5 million as of March 31st gone by. But again, that's the collection, that's the receivables that have been assigned to us for collections. It would not include fines receivable from traffic fines, as that's through Department of Justice Public Safety, or through student loans that are not in default, because that is collected through the National Student Loan Program.
Thank you, Sarah Studley. I would like to add that if you look at purchase services, we overspent from $20,000 to $50,000, and we overspent because we had higher than anticipated legal statement of claim costs in trying to go to court to recruit to recoup the money owed to government. So each time we file a state of claim, statement of claim, it's $300, and so that is made up of us. That extra money we spent to purchase services is the legal costs that we spent going to court to recoup the when we, you know, when we're not able to recoup, then that's the last resort. We would do the statement of claim with court, and so in consultation with the other department. And so that increase is because we've been, I guess, ramping up our efforts in terms of going to court to collect.
Scott Jones, just to throw another number at you. So we've collected this past year in excess of $71 million on the accounts that have been assigned to us.
Good job. What a collection team.
Thank you both for the explanation. Minister, if it's not listed in your binder, can you, will you provide a list of everything that's included in that in for those totals?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you very much. Minister, no, I'll get that one's going to be in the binder. That's everything for this section, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to MHA Evans.
Thank you, Chair. Going back to section 2.1.01, Consumer and Financial Services, has there been an increase in the staff and funding to the Residential Tenancies Board in the past year? And how many applications were received over the past year?
Thank you. We did not allocate more resources. We did do a bit of a reorganization to get an additional hearing individual. Oh, we're fully staffed. Scott, I don't know if you want to talk about the number of, thank you.
Scott Jones. So the total applications received this past year was just over 1,200, and the residential tenancy offices closed just under 1,100 of those applications. So as of March 31st, there were still 114 outstanding and being in progress of being worked.
Has the department considered making it mandatory for landlords to go to mediation before allowing them to evict a tenant legally?
I will say we're always looking at ways we can improve the process for landlords and tenants. One big change we are working on is I've committed to us, I can't remember the section number of the act.
51.
What number? 51. So under section 51 of the Landlord-Tenant Act, Residential Tenancies Act, we are going to start seeking legal action against landlords and tenants potentially who meet potential criteria. That was. We are going to take more of a leadership role in making sure that the act is followed by landlords and tenants.
Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. The media has reported on the lack of a body that's dedicated to bring in landlord-tenant cases to court. And you've committed to looking into that. Could you provide us with some sort of details on where the department is currently?
We have a plan. Yes, we have reviewed an approach kind of to start on a pilot basis, and we are planning to recruit an additional full-time staff member to undertake those activities.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Have there been any reports brought to the department accusing business of price gouging in the last year? If so, how many have resulted in investigations and fines?
Thank you. No, we have not.
None? Okay. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Back in January 2023, the superintendent of insurance stated that he expected insurers and brokers to end the practice of best term pricing by the end of July. Does that mean that statement is merely a request, or is it a consideration? Is it being considered to be a mandate?
Thank you. Our director is a she, and it was a request at that point, and I'm not aware of any. My understanding is at that point the practice was going to cease, and if it did not cease, then we would take further action, but it was a request at that point.
Thank you, Minister, and thank you for reminding me. If I'm not sure of the gender, I should go gender neutral. Okay, I'm just looking at some line items now. I hope I'm not duplicating. You can point it out to me. Under transportation and communications, the budget, why is the budget set to decrease?
Sorry, which number?
Okay, yes. I'm still under 2.1.01 consumer and financial services, and I'm looking at the line item transportation and communications.
Thank you very much. So the budget is going to decrease because we expect lower travel, landline, and mobility costs.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. I don't think you answered this one. For purchase services, why was it over budget?
Thank you. So we had additional credit debit costs that... You know, there were more transactions than we anticipated, more online payments, and so that means that there's more debit credit costs than we anticipated.
Okay, thank you. And just looking at provincial revenue, why did you take in more than expected?
Thank you. We took in more revenue. That is the number, a payment related to the number of applications that we received.
Okay.
So there were more applications.
Thank you. Looking at 2.1.03, commercial registrations, MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains, why did spending on purchase services run over budget?
Thank you. Just to be clear, so we're 2.1.03 purchase services.
And you already did that one, Minister. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, that's the credit debit card fees and the real estate market,
Yes, sorry about that.
It's okay.
Because a lot of times I'm going through and reading them out and I miss questions being asked. Next question was, what was the extra money spent on under property furnishings and equipment?
Thank you. So in this line item, we replaced four scanners for our company's Deeds Online System upgrade project. So as we digitized things, we needed four new scanners.
Okay, thank you. Just moving to 2.2.01, Vital Statistics Registry. And Minister, I do have to point out how much help they've been to my... my office in helping people out in my region, where for many years, multiple individuals were not able to obtain a birth certificate. And it would cycle through applying, being rejected, not just giving up on it, and then having to actually have the birth certificate. So I must say that department has really helped us out with addressing local, regional problems that other regions don't have. So I do have to commend them, and I really, really appreciate it because it's made a difference in people's lives. Because, like, some people weren't able to travel because the first step in getting photo IDs and things like that is this. So it's very, very important to acknowledge the amount of work that they've done to help us. I'm not sure if, so am I still under Vital Statistics Registry? Yeah, it's already been done. I'm moving on to King's Printer, 2.2.02. Let's see, lack of employee benefits. All operating accounts were under budget last year. Was it a lack of work that accounts for this being under budget? So I'm going to read the question over again because I started. All operating accounts were under budget last year, except for employee benefits. Was it this due to a lack of work?
Thank you. So they had fewer costs. Number the employee benefits, the $200, that is a cost of registering for a virtual conference for the King's Printer Association of Canada. I do want to, while we're here talking about the King's Printer, the director of the King's Printer is like a lean expert, and they run a very tight ship in the King's Printer, and I've been extremely impressed with the work that they do and the value that they bring to government. I wouldn't specifically correlate reduction in budget spending with a lack of work, but they run a tight ship.
Okay, so it's more on the efficiency side. Okay, thank you. Staying with King's Printer, MHA Evans, Tringat Mountains. Why was the provincial revenue under budget?
Thank you. So we had a reduced requirement for printed materials.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. And I got just one last question there, 2.2.03, collection services. I'm not sure if this question was asked. How many files have been resolved this past year, and how much money was collected by the province last year in outstanding debts? You only did how many?
Scott Jones. In excess of $71 million was collected this year by the collection unit.
Okay, my time's expired, and I'm good with this section.
Are you finished with this section?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And Ms. DeWall, you're finished with this section. I ask the clerk to call the subheadings, please.
Regulatory Affairs, 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 carry? All those in favor? Against? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next set of subheadings, please.
Digital Government and Services, 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive.
All right, so 3.1.01 to 3.4.02, MHJ Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Minister, some general questions before we start into the line items. What type of volume is this division seeing at the various locations, in person versus online?
Thank you, Sarah Studley. I know recently we surpassed 1 million vehicle renewals. Mike Avenel, very exciting. I don't know. I don't have volume per location in front of me. We can certainly get that. But obviously, so motor registration in Mount Pearl does specifically motor registration work, where I know in many of the other areas, it's like a more of a government service center, and the team do a range of things for our department plus other departments. So it's not quite as simple as picking a number. But Gail, I don't know if there's anything you want to provide.
Gail Bowman, yes. We did surpass the 1 million mark as well with driver license renewal as of the beginning of February of this year. We had approximately 183,000 driver's license renewed. We provided almost 80,000 online driver exam tests, and a little more than 41,000 people were able to access their driver record through MyGovNL. We continue to enjoy a very high percentage of people who are using MyGovNL to renew their driver's license and their vehicle registration. The high 90% are doing that, which then helps to free up availability in Mount Pearl as well as our government service centers across the province to provide in-person services for those who require such.
Thank you, Minister, and Ms. Boland for that for the information. Minister, do you have any data on the wait times for the issuing of documents either online or wait times in person?
Thank you. So I guess I've never been made aware of an issue with the wait time waiting for a document. So I guess it's just the time required to mail, or if I know someone contacts us and needs an identity document and they don't have time to wait for the mail, we do provide expedited shipping, or we can provide something virtual to people if they need it in an emergency situation.
Okay, thank you. Minister, the Green Report recommended privatization. Are there any new plans to privatize any parts of your department?
There's nothing I can speak to right now.
Nothing you can speak to, or nothing moving forward with privatization?
There's nothing to speak to.
Minister, do you have any briefing notes on privatization regarding your department?
I don't believe so. Nothing recent. There would have likely been a question period briefing note 2 years ago, maybe. There's nothing in my current binder. It's all online.
Okay. Minister, I'm going to get into a couple of questions with respect to traffic cameras. The government says it's going to expand the use of traffic enforcement cameras to create safer roadways. While cameras may reduce the speeds and improve safety, no doubt it's going to bring money into the coffers. So what will be the estimated cost of rolling out the new cameras and enforcing their use through fines?
That's an excellent question. I think it's a bit too early to say. So there's cameras. We have not yet planned for a certain number of cameras on provincial government roadways. And there's also then cameras with municipalities, and then, you know, potentially cameras in school bus arms and cameras on red light cameras. So we do not yet know how many cameras there will be.
Minister, do you have any estimated revenue, what you're looking to take in from those fines, and where will that money go to which department?
So ideally, there's no revenue, right, because everyone is going to slow down and not speed. I think that's very unlikely, but at this point, it's difficult to estimate. You know, we had a pilot where we had over 94,000 vehicles going over 11 kilometers an hour over the speed limit with two cameras, which is quite shocking. So just from a procedural perspective, any revenues that do come from a speed camera financial penalty would go into general revenues, but we don't have a number that we're anticipating, because ideally, like, we're not doing this to make money. Ideally, everyone slows down. And it'll have a downward pressure on, you know, healthcare costs, because there'll be fewer accidents, you know, a gamut of societal benefits to having people slow down.
Minister, I agree. Everyone needs to slow down. I don't know if it's going to happen. I hope it does. I certainly hope it does. Minister, you spoke about it earlier today when we started, but I'm not quite sure. I didn't write it down. You said sometime in 2024. Do you have any date, any month that you're looking at rolling out in this current year?
All I can say is we've committed publicly to having cameras in 2024. I would love it to be tomorrow, but it's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be as soon as I can possibly get them.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. A minute ago, you alluded to the 11 kilometers over the posted speed limit. So will that be the standard used going forward with respect to issuing tickets to drivers, or will the drivers be dinged if it's under 11 kilometers per hour? What's going to be your cutoff there?
Thank you. So that's an excellent question. We haven't definitively decided that, and I think that could be something that could change. You know, I don't think that would be in regulation or legislation because speeding is illegal. For the pilot, they were configured, it would only take a picture if it was 11 kilometers an hour over the speed limit. I can't see it being any less than that, honestly. You know, we're not trying to be unreasonable. You know, everyone, you know, we're not trying to give people tickets for going 3 or 4 kilometers over the speed limit. So I can't imagine it being any less than what we had in the pilot.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Minister, which department will budget for the disputing of fines from the anticipated speed cameras coming online sometime this year?
Thank you. So I don't have an answer to that yet, but we are working on that.
Thank you, Minister. So do you see anything from your department or from your staff that's preventing the rollout as soon as possible? Or is this no reflection on your staff? Please don't take it that way if it came across that way. Or is it another government department that you're working with in conjunction to move forward with these cameras?
I would love to tell you, you know, we have multiple government departments working together collaboratively as fast as we can to maximize road safety with the use of traffic enforcement cameras.
Okay, thank you, Minister. I do have a few more questions. As you can imagine, it's a very topical conversation right now. So, Minister, we have some drivers, we hear about them on different forms of media all the time, but huge fines that they're carrying, they can't afford to pay. So the individuals ignore them and they keep driving. So what's your department planning to do for those who are continuing to speed, have heavy fines, without paying them off? Is there going to be a community service option? Will there be a driver's education option? How are you going to deal with it going forward?
Sarah Studley. So right now, speeding ticket fines are managed by Justice and Public Safety. You cannot renew your vehicle if you have outstanding fines. So vehicles driving, like if you can't renew your vehicle, it's illegal to be on the road. You can't drive an unregistered vehicle. So they would be driving illegally without registration. And, you know, we have numerous programs in place and have over the past few years to try and reduce the number of people driving around illegally without registration. There's only so much we can do. So you would have to pay your fines before you renew your vehicle, right? That's right, right? Yeah. You'd have to pay your fines before you renew your vehicle. And if you don't renew your registration, then you're driving illegally.
Madam Chair, I see my time is up. I do have more questions and to discuss. We'll come back. Thank you.
We will come back to you.
Thank you.
MHA Evans.
Chair. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Section 3.1.01, Motor Registration Division. Just looking at the turnover rates now, have there been any change in the turnover rates at Motor Registration Division? And what measures are you taking to address the retention?
Thank you. So I don't see this necessarily as a reflection on motor registration. So we do have a lot of employee turnover in motor registration. You know, it is a resident-facing part of the government. And, you know, I do think that, you know, nothing wrong with it, but I do think we get people coming into those roles. You have to clerk for roles. So you need a 2-year office administration program to be a clerk for. You know, we train you, and it's not the easiest job dealing with the public and motor registration. And so we do see some people going in those jobs and then, you know, looking for other internal opportunities. And I don't blame them for doing that. So I personally don't see that as a reflection on motor registration as an employer. It is a challenging environment dealing with the public. We do have a range of different roles within motor registration, but it is something that we do struggle with in terms of employees coming and staying in that resident-facing role.
Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Tringat Mountains. Has there been any talk or examination of options for updating the IT systems at motor registration?
So that's more of an OCIO thing, but I'll certainly happy to answer that. So we have multiple mainframe systems that we need to upgrade. Motor registration is one of them. Student loan is another one, and MCP is another one. So we are, this is not this department, but from my OCIO hat, we are currently doing we are currently upgrading the student loan system. And after that, we're going to be targeting motor registration and MCP. I'm not sure which one will come first, but we're trying to, the student loan was the smallest of the systems, and so we're testing out a few theories and want to make sure we do a good job at the student loan one, and then we'll be looking at the other two big ones.
Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Tringat Mountains. How many highway enforcement officers are currently employed by the department under the highway safety program?
Thank you for the question.
They're all filled but one, and we're doing a screening on.
Yes, all of our highway enforcement officer roles are filled except for one, and we are currently in screening for one in Lab West. The rest are filled.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Tringat Mountains. Have there been any significant issues with mandating electronic logging devices on commercial vehicles during the interprovincial work? Sorry about that.
I'm not aware of any significant issues, no.
No, okay, thank you. Has there been any progress on making, I'm moving my paper further and further away because my glasses are not the right ones for reading. Have there been any progress made on transitioning to a plate-to-owner system in the last year, and what kind of benefits do you see arising from adopting that system?
Thank you. So that would be the same answer as the last question. So really, we don't have a plate-to-owner system because of the mainframe system that our current motor registration system is on. It's there, it's running, it works well, so it's not desperate. But we do need, a modern system. And so when we get to the transformation of the motor registration system, then that, the future person in this role or department might change their mind, but my understanding is that would be a key component of getting a new system is that it's designed around plate to owner.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, MHA Evans, Tringat Mountains. Is there any consideration being given to moving to some sort of rule saying that all vehicles have to pass a regular routine inspection for roadworthiness? And do you have any figures or estimates on how that may decrease accidents?
Thank you. So that's an excellent question. So 30 years ago in Newfoundland and Labrador, all vehicles, there was a program to have mandatory inspections. We have not had that for 30 years. That has been revisited multiple times. Nationally, from a statistics perspective, there's no significant demonstration with the available national data to show that there would be a safety value to doing that. There's a few different elements to that. One is cost. I really don't want to be the person to tell everyone in the province they have to spend another $100 a year or $100 every 2 years to get their older vehicles inspected, whatever the criteria would be. I don't think my colleagues would like that either. Considering the safety element of that, though, and I've had some meetings on this lately, so I've thought a lot about this. If you're looking at which vehicles need to be inspected, it's not the new vehicles, it's the older vehicles, right? So of the people who drive older vehicles, whatever that year would be, many of those people are already going to garages and getting worked on by certified mechanics and dealers. And in those situations, mechanics and dealers usually are not legally obliged to, but usually to also get more work, say, oh, you need this, 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 and this done. That's what happens to me when I bring my older vehicle in to get fixed. They say, okay, you need your new brakes, you need this, and I say, okay, and then we do it. And so if we look at, and so most people with older vehicles are doing that. There are people driving illegally without registration, without insurance, and my opinion is that those same people would also not do the yearly inspections. And so really, we're target a policy like that, which would cost everyone an extra $100 a year or whatever it would be. I think we'd only be getting at such few vehicles that it would not be worth the overall cost and inconvenience to all the other people who are already maintaining their vehicle appropriately. So I'm happy to chat further about it. I've thought a lot about this lately, and so I'm not proposing any changes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Minister, for that answer. Will the department be increasing the requirements for rideshare riders to include vulnerable sector checks?
Thank you. So in order to be a rideshare driver, you have to, the rideshare company has to make sure that you have a appropriate criminal record check, and there's also no conditions applied by a court that would prevent you from completing all the duties of a rideshare driver. So my understanding is that that condition, the second part of that, fulfills the similar type of problem, saves the same type of problem that a vulnerable sector check would uncover. So the fact that, you know, if you have a court condition that you can't be around children or you can't go in this part of the city, or any of, if you have court ordered conditions, my understanding, and so it's the company's responsibility to make sure that the drivers don't have any court ordered conditions that would prevent them from fulfilling their duties. So my understanding is that that covers a similar, what would be the value that would be provided by a vulnerable sector check.
Thank you, Minister, for that answer. MHA Evans, Trungat Mountains. Even though the government did not require background checks for management of rideshare app companies, your department did revoke an approval of the event when an owner was found to be facing accusations of sex crime. Even though those other problems do not require background checks on managers, will that be something that this department might take the initiative on?
Thank you for the question. So I will say that for rideshare companies, the onus is on the rideshare company to make sure that all of the drivers have appropriate criminal record check results. You know, there's the application form, and in the instance that I think we're referring to, the person filling out the application form who was not going to be a driver had charges, which is why we canceled the license. We suspended the license out of abundance of caution.
Yes.
We are not requiring, you know, every person who works at any company to have a criminal record check. You know, it's the people who interact with the public in their capacity as a driver.
Yeah. So no initiative there to, require the background checks on management, just the drivers. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Minister. I didn't need to put you on the spot, and I know you face a lot of public scrutiny there over that incident, and it was probably difficult to navigate, and you did take action. So I commend you on that. And so anyway, this was just a follow-up question to what unfolded back then.
MHA Evans, your time is up now. We're going to move. We come back to that question again. I'm going to pass down to MHA O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Lyle O'Driscoll. Have you put any more thought into going plate to person as a way forward for some of these fines? I think that could solve it. I'm not sure, but anyway.
Thank you, Sarah Studley. So absolutely, when we get the new system, the new new motor registration system will be designed around that. At the moment, with our current system, it's not possible.
What do you think the timeline is for that?
So I mentioned to our earlier question, so there's three systems on the mainframe,
yeah,
student loan, MCP, and motor registration, and so it's a major project to kind of, you know, transform those systems into a modern system. So we've, this is again OCIO, it's not this department.
No.
But happy to answer the question. So we've started with student loans, so we are currently redoing the student loan system, testing out a few things, and then after that we'll be doing following with either motor registration and MCP. We haven't decided which one first yet. And then, you know, there's no dire need. You know, I appreciate it would be nice, but so I don't have a timeline.
No, and you don't have a timeline for when the student loan one is going to be finished and ready to go?
That's a different department, so I can tell you that in the estimates for that department, but those officials aren't here, so.
Okay, you know, but just some of these fines that people just go buy another car and always in the industry to go buy another car, they don't register it, and then that gets, so when you haul somebody in with $30,000-$40,000 worth of fines, you confiscate that car and not give it back to them, or where does that go?
So if you have fines, you have to pay them before you renew your vehicle registration, and if you're not able to renew your vehicle registration if you have fines outstanding, and then if you continue driving, that's illegal.
Right. So what happens is they go buy a car for $1,000, another car, and then that gets confiscated, and that's how they keep rolling, and that's why the plate-to-plate is more important. That's why I asked that question, because that's what happens as far as I'm concerned. But maybe you can correct me on that.
So Justice Public Safety, they do the collections of fines outstanding on those types of fines.
Okay. Jordan, with ambulances in our this motor registration, I'm going to say, doing inspections. So ambulances get inspected every 6 months or every year. Do you do them as your department?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so every 6 months or every year?
I can get that for you.
Yeah,
we don't have the timeline.
And the buses is every 6 months. Am I correct in saying that?
So the buses is 100% of buses are inspected by October each year,
yeah.
And at least 30% of buses are inspected in the winter. Although I know they try and do a lot more than that, but there are, in addition to that, there's twice a year where the owner of the bus has to submit an inspection from an official inspection station. So all buses are inspected three times a year. Many are inspected four times a year.
So they do their own inspections, or got to be inspected, obviously, every 6 months or a year, whatever it is for a bus. But then your department has to go inspect it every
yes.
year. Every bus got to be inspected?
We inspect
every
100%
year?
Of all buses in
okay.
October and at least 30% in the winter. But the team tell me they try and do way more than 30%.
Okay. The other question would be motor vehicle inspections, and the member from Torngat touched on it. Motor vehicle inspections on vehicles that you have to determine at what point that you're going to determine what makes them old. Okay? The vehicles come with a 5-year 100 or a 5-year 160 warranty. So there's vehicles out there that got 200,000, 300,000 kilometers. At what point in a safety standard do we do motor vehicle inspections? I know that we can't. I don't want to pass on any more fees to a person that owns a vehicle. I'm driving a 2010 that my daughter owned. All right, so this never needs to be inspected. It's 14 years old. It's, you know. So anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. So I've talked a bit about that already, but happy to say it again.
Yeah.
And
I was
so
listening, but I wasn't.
You
sure.
do have to inspect a vehicle when you sell it.
Yeah.
So. Mandatory inspections have not been mandatory in Newfoundland and Labrador for 30 years, and that has been reviewed. No, it is 30 years. We have, subsequent governments have reviewed that numerous occasions. When we look at the federally available data around what causes vehicle accidents, there's no, you know, significant or statistically relevant amount of accidents caused by issues with vehicles that would have been solved by annual or biannual inspections. So recently I had the Automobile Dealers Association in, and they were lobbying for bi-yearly, every 2 years, to have an inspection on older vehicles. And so I've thought a lot about this. So if you look at everyone who gets, you know, yes, all the newer vehicles, you don't need to inspect those, fine. So what we're trying to target safety, right? So if you look at all the older vehicles, most of those people are bringing their vehicles to garages or dealerships to get fixed. When I bring my 2013 vehicle in, they say, oh, you need new brakes, you need this, you need this, you need this, and I say, okay. Most people do that, right? There would be some people who don't get their vehicle maintained appropriately. I'm not saying that's not true, but so if we had biannual inspections required for all those people, that's an extra $100 cost that all those people are going to have to pay. And what are we trying to get at that? We're imposing an extra cost on all those people to try and find the few people who currently aren't getting their vehicle maintained and inspected. And if it's only every 2 years, then how likely during that two-year period are you to find something that, you know... And then, so I guess a lot of people right now are driving without registration, without insurance, driving illegally, right? Mm-hmm. And we hear them in the news all the time. And so those people are also not going to pay for their inspections, right? So in my opinion, and I have thought a lot about this in the last few months, imposing a mandatory every 2 years inspection on all of the vehicles 5 or 10 years older is imposing a lot of cost on everyone in the province that they can't afford it, to get at such few vehicles. You're really only getting at so few vehicles that I can't, and when the statistics don't show that that's a cause of accidents, the fact that, you know, older vehicles aren't being maintained, that's not a statistically relevant number of incidents. So when the stats don't show it, I can't bring that forward to say we should charge everyone $100 every 2 years for a vehicle inspection when there's so few things we're trying to get at. Happy to chat further about it.
Yeah, well, we'll have a side chat on that, because I don't agree with that. I'm not saying I want to pass on anything to anybody as a fee, but...
Come in and happy to chat.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll leave that be. But certainly a discussion that got to be had. If it's a car rector 10 years old, somebody should be checking it. Now, one person may own it, or somebody may try to buy it. It got to be inspected. I get that. If I buy your vehicle today, I got to get it changed over and got to be inspected. But somebody keeps a vehicle for 10 years, or he takes a vehicle to cut down on fines and inspections in some of these vehicles, getting them inspected after whatever period that may be, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, I don't know, but there's got to be a point somewhere that, for safety reasons, only takes one, but the safety reasons, and they're out there. I worked in a garage for 22 years, and I can tell you, they avoid you and go somewhere else, or they don't go anywhere at all until they're totally done. And if you inspect them, you get them done. And when you say people spend them on inspections, there's a different number and a ball joint, as an example, or tie rod end when you go to a garage compared to when you go to a side garage. There's a booklet that shows, well, this is within 4 millimeters. The garage up the road may say, well, this is is worn out and is 5 millimeters, but there's different volumes of how they do it. So anyway, we'll have that discussion. Thank you for the answers. I'm done, yeah. Thank you.
You're finished?
Yeah.
All right, seeing we're over halfway through, I'm just wondering what the consensus are about taking a break. I'm just wondering if you want to continue or take a...
I'm okay, do you want a break?
Take a 10-minute break.
Do you want a break? We're okay.
You're okay? What about...
You're okay? Yeah, I'm okay.
Everybody's
we're
okay?
We're all good, so we can leave anyhow.
M.H. Evans,
go for
okay?
The bathroom.
All right, we will continue. Yeah. And M.H. Evans, you're up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. M.H. Evans, Strong Gap Mountains. I'm on Section 3.1.01, Motor Registration Division. Going right down now. I'm actually on, yes. Looking at operating accounts. So 3.1.01, operating accounts. With the exception of the employee benefits, they all ran over budget. Can you just give us an explanation for that?
Thank you. So the transportation communications, we had hired postage, travel, mobility, and landline costs. The supplies, we had higher costs associated with purchasing license plates and envelopes for mailing. Purchase services, we had higher costs with debit credit card fees and a higher volume of license card printing. And then we had for property furnishings equipment, we bought new scanners for the front counter, some ergonomic equipment. We had to replace printers, some monitors, and brake meters. We also had updated firewalls for weigh scales locations.
Thank you, Minister. You asked, you answered another question, so I'll just go on. Provincial revenue was down, so why didn't we collect as much as expected last year?
Thank you. So I think this is when someone needs a driver's license posted like overnight or something, and so we had fewer requirements for that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains, moving on to 3.2.01, support services. Are there any job vacancies in this section?
Are there any job vacancies?
That at the beginning.
Yeah, I did give a list.
Okay. Yep. No, I'll take that.
No job in support services.
Okay.
No vacancies.
Purchase services. Why does spending run over budget?
Thank you. So this was increased banking fees, secure cash collection, photocopier costs. We had overruns, but this was partially offset because we had fewer general purchasing services, fewer membership fees, and we didn't spend as much on training.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Minister. Moving on to 3.2.02, regional services, MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Just looking at salaries now, was under budget last year. Was that due to vacancies? And how many vacancies are there?
Thank you. So it was due to vacancies. So regional services, we have six vacancies in the Avalon, two in Eastern, four in Central, one in Western, and one in Labrador.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Under operating accounts, with the exception of transportation and communications, all were over budget. Can we just have a brief explanation of that?
Of course, yeah, thank you. So under supplies, we had to reprofile some funds to replace some specialized equipment. We did get two new trucks. The TI buys the trucks, but we have to pay for the truck accessories for the highway enforcement officers, so like lights and all that kind of stuff. So we had to pay for truck accessories and spill kits for two new trucks. Under purchase services, we moved some money around for training, repairs and maintenance, safe combination upgrades, and other just some other things we had to buy. And then under property furnishings and equipment, we had to move some things around to purchase clorometers, some ergonomic chairs, and some laptops and tablets.
Thank you. Minister, MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains, provincial revenue. It was, we're expecting less this year. Can you just give us a brief explanation of that?
Thank you. So, again, this is an accounting thing. We have reprofiled online electrical permit revenue to current account revenue, which is why it's no longer in this budget line.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Moving to 3.3.01, occupational health and safety inspections. MHA, Evans, Torngat, Mountains. How many inspections were completed last year, and how many investigations into workplaces were conducted?
I'll pass that over to Gail Boland, please.
Gail Boland, this information is available online. So at the end of 2023, we had conducted 4,374 inspections. We issued 7,446 orders and 460 stop work orders.
Thank you. MHA, Evans, Torngat Mountains, how many inspectors are currently employed by the department?
Sarah Studley. So there are 48 positions in occupational health and safety with two vacant positions. I don't know if there's another room inspector. Sorry, Gail.
Gail Boland, yes. Of those positions that the minister had just cited, 26 of them are occupational health and safety officers who are out in the field.
Okay. Thank you. MHA, Evans, Torngat Mountains. Reports of violence against healthcare professionals, especially nurses and nurse practitioners, have reached alarming rates in the past year. And, you know, we're all made aware of these, you know, this situation. What measures is OH&S taken to help reduce rates of violence in healthcare?
Thanks, Sarah Studley. So I will say that everyone has a right to a safe workplace. We set the regulations and legislation, and I know Workplace NL under Minister Davis does a lot of the working proactively and reactively with employers. So Gail, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add to that.
Gail Boland, so recently we partnered with Workplace NL and did a blitz with the healthcare sector to help raise awareness and build knowledge and awareness of how people in the healthcare sector can protect themselves.
Thank you for that answer. MHA, Evans, Torngat Mountains, how many positions are there currently in occupational health and safety, and how many are vacant, and which positions seem to have the most vacancies?
Thank you, Sarah Studley. We have 48 total positions and two are vacant.
Looking at the salaries, what was spending on salaries under budget this year, and how many vacancies are there?
Thank you. There's two vacancies. The savings are the result of vacancies in hard-to-fill positions. So an example of that would be an industrial hygienist is a difficult-to-fill position, and so we often have longer than normal vacancies for those.
Thank you. Looking at professional services, why was spending over budget last year?
Thank you. Sometimes in investigations, we require the use of consultants, and so that is here. This is why that number is much higher, because we had a lot of consultants related to fatal accident investigations.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister. MHA, Evans, Torngat Mountains. Looking at purchase services, why was spending over budget? Why was spending under budget this year?
Thank you. So we had some virtual meetings where we'd usually have in-person meetings, reduction in printing costs, and we had less than anticipated requirements for professional radiation services.
Okay. Thank you. 3.4.01, assistance to St. Lawrence Miners dependents. How many people are currently receiving money from this account?
Gail Boland. So in 2022-23, there were 26 recipients.
26.
All right, so we're going to, your time is up, MHA Evans. We're going to move it back to MHA Wong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Minister, I'm going to jump back to what we discussed before, the traffic cameras.
Yep.
And I want to ask, will municipalities have the opportunity to put their towns forward for a speed camera, because as you can appreciate, mayors and councillors have to budget, and of course their budget cannot be, once it's set for a calendar year, it cannot be amended. So do you have anything to offer on that one with respect to municipalities?
Thank you. Absolutely. So we are looking at some criteria to have some objective criteria as to under what circumstances municipalities would request speed cameras or traffic enforcement cameras. I will say that they're currently legal in the it's currently lawful today to have a speed camera. So I guess what we're doing, I'm trying to have like more of a provincial approach that municipalities can leverage. Where, as much as possible will be outlined and it'll be easy, but there's nothing stopping municipalities now today from having from working with law enforcement and having enforcement cameras today.
Okay, thank you, Minister. So if your municipality does have a speed camera, will the government follow through with administering the fines, or where does the fine revenue go then? Is it to the municipality? Is it direct to the province? How does that unfold?
Thank you. So we are still working on the exact, execution of what the program will look like. Any revenues will go into government general revenues. I think there is an acknowledgement that there would be some amount of revenue sharing with municipalities. That I see more of as that wouldn't be under me. That's more of kind of a whole government, like how do we, anyway. I think that's something that we will answer. I don't have an answer to that right now. And that would probably be a combination of working with the Minister for Municipal and Provincial Affairs and in consultation with the Minister of Finance.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Minister, does your department have a plan, or are you currently working with another department to review the speed limits that are currently on the roads to ensure they're reasonable and to ensure that the postage on signs are effective in any given area? Because that's important.
Thank you. So that would be transportation infrastructure. We don't set speed limits.
Understood. But is your department working with the Department of Transportation Infrastructure as this unfolds?
So I'm trying to progress this traffic enforcement program. If anyone is concerned with the speed limit posted somewhere, they can certainly send in a complaint, and we'll try and get to the right place. Or we would certainly have those discussions with TI. I'm not aware that reviewing the speed limits across the province is a urgent issue, but happy to.
Okay. So just to be clear, your department is not currently working with another department with respect to the speed cameras are unfolding in various areas?
Yes, we are working on speed cameras. Sorry, I thought you meant the deciding what the speed limit should be.
Maybe I didn't say it clear enough.
We're not working on speed limits. We're working on speed cameras.
But ensuring that the limits in those areas where the cameras are proper. So that would be back to TI.
I'm assuming, I'm not assuming that there are problems with the speed limits. The speed limits are the speed limits, and we're hoping to make available cameras for municipalities and, put cameras on provincial government roads to ensure safe, that people follow the rules of the road.
I simply ask, Minister, not to confuse, or yep. There was an issue in my district where on one stretch of road, going northbound it was 50 and coming southbound it was 60. So that's why I only ask if when you're putting cameras in specific areas within municipalities, because the municipalities oftentimes don't have the staff to ensure this. It's back to the province. So that's why I asked that question. So.
Sure. And thank you, Sarah Studley. Municipalities, like we would never dictate where in municipalities there would be a speed camera. That would be up to municipalities.
Okay. Minister, how can municipalities go ahead with cameras working in certain areas with policing if the regs are not in place? So are the regs going to be in place by the time this rolls out in 2024, as you said, as soon as possible?
Thank you for the question. So I mentioned speed cameras are lawful today and there's no further regulations required. the program that we are working on will be comprehensive, and I'm working on that as soon as possible, but we don't, it is lawful today to have speed cameras.
Okay.
And there's no further regs required.
And no further regs required. Okay, thank you. Minister, does your department anticipate or are you budgeting for higher court costs or additional court time as drivers may challenge their fines with respect to being caught on a speed camera?
Thank you. So the appeal mechanism of a financial penalty for speed cameras is something we are actively in discussions with multiple government departments on.
Okay, thank you. I have a question regarding now. I'm going to jump from speed cameras before I get into the line. I do have one on daycares. Minister, can you elaborate on why daycare inspections are not posted online the same as you would have for bus inspections?
Actually this past year, we were able to post inspection results for personal care homes. No daycare centers are not currently available online, but as with everything, it's a priorities issue, it's systems issues, just being able to have the systems to support posting that information available online.
Thank you, Ms. Boland. I appreciate that. It's something that we look forward to. All right, Minister, I'm going to get into a couple of line item questions. Under 3.1.01 salaries, your department underspent by $600,700 last year, and this year the budget increases. Can you just explain to us why, please?
Thank you. Just to be clear, so we're talking about 3.1.01 motor registration salaries.
Correct.
So we had a reduction due to vacancies. We do have high turnover in motor registration, and we have an increase for the coming year due to the negotiated salary increases for staff.
Thank you, Minister. Under transportation and communications, you overspent by $165,000. Please explain why.
Thank you. Yeah, we had increased costs for postage, travel, cell phone, and landline costs.
Postage, travel, and landline?
And cell phone costs, yeah.
Under supplies, again, overspent by $158,100. Please explain why.
Thank you. So we had higher anticipated costs for license plates and the envelopes for mailing.
And that is still being done out of province?
We don't print license plates here, no.
Correct, so it's still being done out of province. Under purchase services, overspent by $62,000, and this year's budget is less than the budget amount for last year. So I'd just like to know why. Please, Minister.
Thank you. So we had increased costs with debit credit card fees, and so we had higher than anticipated amount of printing license cards.
Thank you. Under 3.2.01, with respect to the bus safety inspections, has the department given any thought to posting the inspections online as they are done, as opposed to batching them and posting them by the season or when requested?
Thank you. So school bus inspections are extremely important. If they don't pass an inspection, they can't be on the road. Right, so this is more of like a benefit effort thing. So we take them in a batch and we put them online. But if a bus is not safe, it can't be on the road. Like, we take it off the road and either have conditions where it has to be fixed by the end of the day or fixed in a few days, and we'll go back and reinspect it, or it can't be on the road. So I don't see a public safety issue. You know, it's more of a transparency thing, but regardless of whether we put the inspection results online daily or weekly, like, there's no change in how fast they have to fix the bus if there's an issue, right? So I guess it's more of an efficiency thing of when we take the inspections and we put them on the website.
Okay. Major, while your time has expired, we will come back to you again.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
M.H.A. Evans, please.
Thank you, Chair.
Questions?
Thank you, Chair. 3.4.02 assistance to outside agencies. Looking at grants and subsidies, why did grants and subsidies come in lower than expected last year?
Thank you very much. So we do give sponsorships sometimes for different conferences. For example, Occupational Health and Safety Association, the Canadian Society of Safety Engineering, Safety Services Newfoundland Labrador, Canadian Standards Association, Newfoundland Labrador Employers Council, the Newfoundland Labrador Construction Safety Association, Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Labor, Safety Net. And so we budget $8,000, but we don't proactively go out. So if someone asks us for a sponsorship, we will give it to them. So the reduction in spending is because we spent what I guess we were asked to spend. We provide it by request, and we did not exceed our budget.
That's the end of my questions.
That's the end of your questions?
Yes.
Okay. I'm here, Chair Wall. Do you have some more questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I do have some more questions. Thank you. Minister, are there any current vacancies in your department? If so, how many?
Thank you. So we do have vacant positions. I went through them, I think, twice now. We have 47 vacancies. We have, as of March 31st, so we have 3 in executive support, 4 in consumer financial services, 2 in commercial registry, 1 in vital statistics, 1 in the King's Printer, 1 in collections, 19 in motor registration, 6 in regional services Avalon, 2 in regional services Eastern, 4 in regional services Central, 1 in regional services Western, 1 in regional services Labrador, and 2 in occupational health and safety.
Thank you, Minister. Under salaries, last year's department underspent by $254,000. This year's budget is more than last year's budgeted amount. Can you please explain why?
Thank you. Is that for motor registration? Mm-hmm. No. Which line item? Which tab? Or
under salaries.
For 3.1.01?
3.2.01.
Okay. Thank you. Just a second. Thank you. So under support services 3.2.01, salaries were less due to vacancies in hard to fill positions, but then we also had an increase due to the salary negotiated salary increase.
Minister, can you define what's a hard to fill position?
Who wants to give an example?
Yeah, please.
Sean Dutton. Particularly technical positions that, there's a smaller labor pool. So elevating device inspector would be an example. We have 3 positions, 2 are filled, 1 is vacant, and we've had continual efforts to recruit for a third. And we've also had approval from Treasury Board to offer a market adjustment to have the wage more competitive. We've done the same thing on a boiler pressure and vessel inspectors, and they also have a market adjustment, and so they'd probably be the most common hard to fill positions. A lot of our other vacancies, such as those in motor registration, are mostly clerical or clerk type positions, so there's just a lot of turnover. So we hire 4 clerk fours, we suddenly have 4 vacancies in clerk threes, and so we still have 4 vacancies even though we hired 4 people.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Dutton. Under transportation and communications, department underspent by $84,000 last year. This year, the budget remains the same. Why is that, Minister?
Thank you. So we had lower postage costs and lower travel costs for inspection services due to vacancies in hard-to-fill positions. So because we had fewer, we had vacancies in hard-to-fill positions, those people didn't travel as much because we didn't have them to travel.
Okay. So for clarification, if they didn't have the individuals to travel, were the inspections not being completed? Is that, or am I misunderstanding?
No, we prioritize, and no, there's no issues with inspections. It's just we had fewer people, so there were fewer people traveling.
Okay. Minister, 3.2.02, under salaries. Underspent by $401,000. This year's budget is more than last. Again, I guess, would that be the same answer again?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Under supplies, an increase of $24,900. This year's budget increases only by less than $3,000. Why is that?
Thank you. So under supplies, so we got two new trucks. TI buys the trucks, but we have to outfit the trucks. So we had to get accessories for the trucks, like spill kits and lights and all that kind of stuff. So that's why we spent more money on the tools and supplies for our two new trucks.
Thank you, Minister. Purchase services increased in 25.7, but the budget remains the same as last. Why is that, Minister?
Thank you. I think this is mostly an accounting thing. They moved money around for training, repairs and maintenance, safe combination upgrades, and other purchased services requirements.
Okay. Under property furnishings and equipment, an increase of $96,000. Why is this?
You say purchase services?
Under property furnishings.
Okay, sorry. Okay, my mistake, sorry. So the extra under property furnishings and equipment is we had to reprofile funds to purchase chlorometers, some ergonomic chairs, and some laptops and tablets.
Can I ask what's a chlorometer?
It's an excellent question. I have no idea.
And I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but...
chlorometer is? Gail?
A way to test chlorine?
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry, Gail Bolin, a way to test... I'm joking. Like, I'm not one of those technical positions that are hard to fill, so that Sean mentioned, but a way to test chlorine in water.
Okay. I've never heard the term. Anyway, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Howell knows. It's a kit for testing. Okay.
Share with the group.
Device for measuring glory.
Okay.
It comes in
box. Pay raise for Ms. Boland. Thank you, Minister Howell. And we are only going to 3.2.02, correct? That's the heading called?
This is the end, yes.
Yeah, I have one more
question. Keep going.
We're going from 3.1.01 to 3.4.02.
Oh, sorry, my apologies.
We're doing
the
rest of...
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, for clarification. Minister, under revenue provincial, there's a decrease of $52,000. Why is that under the revenue?
Sorry, what?
3.2.02.
Okay.
Under revenue
okay,
provincial.
Thank you.
Please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The decrease in revenue was the reprofiling. It's an accounting thing. The online electrical permit revenue was moved to current account revenue.
Okay. So I'll move now, Minister, to 3.3.01. Just have some general questions under occupational health and safety inspections. And I think maybe part of this question was asked by my colleague from Torngat Mountains, but how many investigations were undertaken and what are the various statuses of the investigations? Please.
Gail Boland. So in terms of inspections, we've done 4,374 as of the end of December 2023. We issued 7,446 orders and 460 stop work orders.
Thank you, Ms. Boland. Minister, how many businesses, first of all, can I get that list that Ms. Boland just referred to?
It's online.
It's online.
It is online?
Yes.
Thank you kindly. I appreciate that. Minister, how many businesses or institutions were found not to be in compliance regarding health and safety conditions?
So that's Gail Boland. So that would be a combination of how many orders were issued and how many stop work orders were issued. So the 7,446 plus the 460.
There could be multiple per business, though,
yes. Yes, of course.
Per business, correct.
And public sector.
And sorry, Minister?
So that would be a combination of businesses and public sector, yep. So
and
we don't have, a count per private business.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Minister, under 3.3.01 salaries, department underspent by $444,500. I know this probably like to do the vacancies, but have these vacancies increased the average time it takes to complete an inspection? I know it's a couple of questions in one.
Thank you. So you'll notice here that the number for next year is decreased a little bit, and that's because we reorganized and we moved two of our policy people to executive support. We had two policy people for occupational health and safety. So now, as a department, we have all of our policy people under the same place. So we've moved two positions from occupational health and safety to executive support. I'm not aware of any issue with inspections. We would take that obviously very seriously, and we would not a concern right now.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Under professional services, your department overspent by $235,000. Can you please explain this? And is there a list of the amount for spending?
Thank you. So this additional spend was related to consultants for fatal accident investigations. I'll have to defer to Gail if we'll certainly provide what we can in terms of the breakdown of that.
Okay. Thank you. Under operating accounts, an increase of $200,000. Why is that, Minister?
Thank you. So I guess the operating accounts, that would be a summary of the numbers above, right? So that would be the extra money for the extra money for the fatal accident investigations, and then the other decreases.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you for the clarification. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have other questions, but my time is out.
Would you, M.H.J. Evans, you don't have any further questions? So we will put some more minutes on the clock for you, M.H.J. Wong.
Only got another couple hours, Madam Chair.
That's quite all right.
No, I just got a couple of other questions. So under 3.4.01, Minister, and my colleague from Torngat asked a question on the St. Lawrence Miners' dependents. So if I got my notes correctly, in 2022, 2023, I believe Ms. Boland said it was 26. Is that correct? So basically, how many dependents are still being supported here or are eligible to be supported?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same?
Yeah. Sorry, Gail Boland. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I jotted it down earlier from my colleague, but I wasn't quite sure. Thank you. 3.4.02, assistance to outside agencies under grants and subsidies. Can we have a list of those grants? And there was $3,700 underspent. Why is that? And we'd like to have a list of the grants, please.
Thank you. Yes, Sarah Stoodley. We can certainly provide a breakdown. So we have a budget for $8,000, but we only give it out if someone asks. And so that reflects the requests that we got. And we give funding to, organizations when they ask, like sponsorships for conferences and stuff for like the Occupational Health and Safety Association, Newfoundland Society of Safety Engineering, Safety Services Newfoundland Labrador, Canadian Standards Association, Newfoundland Labrador Employers Council, the Construction Safety Association, the Federation of Labor and Safety Net, and others of similar nature.
And we look forward to that list, Minister. Thank you very much. Madam Chair, that's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, I ask the clerk to call the headings, please. Subheadings.
Digital Government and Services, 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive.
Shall 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 carry? All in favor? Against? Motion carried. Shall the total carry? All in favor? Against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of Digital Government Services NL? So all in favor? Now I need a motion first. So M.H.J. Hutton, move. And we need a seconder. M.H.J. O'Driscoll. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried. That ends the estimates of digital government. Before we conclude, of course, I want to certainly thank everybody for participating in this afternoon's budget process. And the next meeting is scheduled for April 26th at 1 p.m. But before we
leave. Like I said, thanks everybody for their time, especially the staff and the clerk. But I'm going to ask the minister if she wants to end up with some closing remarks.
Sure. Thank you, everyone. I just want to say an extra thanks to the team here and all the people who work in the department around the province. A lot of them have very kind of technical roles, and they have to leave their families to do, you know, investigations sometimes in Labrador, or, you know, they have to, you know, be away from their families to do things like that when needed. So I guess just an extra shout out, and that we very much appreciate all of their hard work to all the staff. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn. MHA Hogan, second by MHA Wall. All in favor? Move. Carried. So I call the meeting adjourned. Thank you again.
Here, Madam Chair.